Okay, 1 Corinthians 11, verses 1 through 16 this morning. I will begin with readily admitting to you a fairly significant hesitancy on studying this passage. Not because of any weakness in God's Word, but because of my own weakness, for my own concern that I might say something that would maybe create some kind of distance between some of us. That's not certainly my desire, out of the love that we all have one for another. Do not want that to happen in any way. But it is God's Word, and we need to study it. And as we study this passage this morning, it has its share of difficulties. Whatever view that you may take on this, there are some difficulties, but with all we've already studied in 1 Corinthians, and looking at those Corinthian brethren and the problems they have with being divisive, with not caring for one another, for not showing the proper love and humility that they should, hopefully all that preceding this leads us, each and every one, to be able to study this, and there should be not any reason that we can't do that, and nor would I expect it to be any different with this group, calmly and thoughtfully as we look at things. Want to take a few seconds here, a few minutes probably, and clarify a few things. As you look at this passage, it's abundantly clear that one of the key portions of this is God's plan and His order for authority in His realm as He created the world, as He created man, as He created woman. And as we look at it, it clearly says some things to us that we can observe and we need to be cognizant of. As we look at this, hopefully you have studied this as you looked at your questions, and the intent of those questions were simply that, to prompt you to study the issue. I think one thing that becomes abundantly clear is that time's not our friend on this. As we look at a class this morning of now 35 minutes left, I can tell you from the moment that I accepted teaching this class, I began to deal, read, and study about this particular section. I can't tell you the number of hours I've spent doing that, and I'm certain that some of you this week have spent a good number of hours of doing that. So to understand that we're going to resolve everything in 35 or 40 minutes this morning, 40 minutes or so Wednesday night, obviously is not realistic, and I think that'll lead you into where I'm headed here in just a second. I would suggest that as we finish up, whether it's this morning or Wednesday night, that we all be prepared to seek the truth in this, to spend more time studying with it, and to really seek out God's Word. There's a lot of things about submission in this passage. I personally like going to 1 Peter chapter 2, the end of chapter 2 through 5, talking about submission, and I'd encourage that along that line with this study. But as you look at that, one thing I think we always want to make clear is that the idea of submission, of woman submissions to man submission to Christ, it is not an idea, it is not a suggestion of anything degrading. It's not a situation that would say somebody is in a quote-unquote lower state, but rather that we have our own roles to fulfill. If you recall in 2 Peter, or in 1 Peter chapter 5 there, and verse 5, Peter says, as he finishes up talking about elders, he says, "Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility." And that, again, is the role that God has given us and understands. And especially as we look at 1 Corinthians, that concept has been abundantly clear as we've looked at these first few chapters, or the first 10 chapters. The world doesn't recognize this concept of submission very well, does it? Actually, we practice it all the time, but when it comes to the role of men and women and our submission to our Lord, it's not recognized very often. So the study of the passage certainly lends some value to us as we just prayed about. I would also say women in this congregation and across the Lord's church are to be commended for being concerned about it. In the world we live in, the concept of women being submissive to men, a woman to her, a wife to her husband, is not a popular topic, not a popular subject, and yet we see that being women consistently being concerned about that here, following God's will on that, and showing that submission in their lives. I know it is a subject that is not taken lightly. This passage is a difficult one to deal with for another reason, in that everything contained about it is in this passage. We can't go to three or four other places and get specific instruction about a covering or uncovered head. It's pretty well contained here. Now, there'll be some verses that relate to some things as we go through it, but that makes it a little more difficult than some other things. And I think, from my study, all commentators agree with that, that it's here. It's contained right in this passage as we study it. So, having said that, I'd like to encourage us all to be patient with each other as we seek for the truth. I know that there are at least three or four different viewpoints of people here from things that people have said to me. And I will tell you right now, we're going to only deal this morning and or Wednesday night with the two that I believe are predominantly viewed in this area. So if you've discussed something with me in any way, please don't be offended by that. Something that we will continue to talk about individually if you'd like, but for the sake of time, that's the way I've chosen to handle it this morning and, if necessary, Wednesday night. A couple of ground rules here. Let me just tell you how I'm going to approach this because of the lack of time, and that is we're going to look at some things that we all can agree on that are common, I believe, in the passage. I may not get all of those, or I may get something in there, even in the brief part I've done of that you may say, well, I'm not sure I quite agree with that. But then we're going to turn and look at the two positions, one of this being a command that God has given us for women's heads to be covered when they pray and or prophesy. And the second option we're going to look at is that of it being a custom of the time that still has application to us today, but realizing it's a custom. And some of those issues that we deal with are points that we make. I think we'll even touch upon a couple of the other things that are often looked at in this passage. I request that as we do this, there is absolutely no way that we can get in an exchange and go through every verse and say, okay, you know, Nathan, what do you think about this? And, you know, Carrie, what do you think? And have this exchange on every verse and finish any kind of a discussion between now and July the 1st, much less between now and Wednesday night. So I'm going to ask that as we go through this, if you hold a position or you're, even if you don't hold a position, but if I represent something in the command position, that this is God's command now, and I don't represent it well or I don't get it quite right, then please correct me on that. Please chip in with me on that. As the same way as we go through the position of it being a custom. If I fall short on doing the explanation on that, please let me know. But let's keep in mind that this is a public setting and time will not permit a detailed look at each and every single point. And if you've studied it, I think you'll understand that. So, if we, other than these two positions, there's a couple others that are somewhat embedded in this. One is that only the covering, the only covering in the chapter is the hair, specifically long hair on the women. Probably is not one of the most common of those positions, but it still contends, at least I believe that is the case, that nothing has changed about the passage relevance to us today. But that the hair is the covering that is being taught there. A second one is that the women who were required to be veiled were those women that were exercising spiritual gifts in their prayers and the prophecies. And of course, as Paul's going to deal with in a couple chapters, those that spiritual gift is no longer in force, and so there it would not have any application or would not be enforced today as a command. And some of that will be indirectly dealt with, I think, as well. Regardless, as we study this passage, let's understand that the relevance today may not be the same for both views, but we are not dismissing either way. This passage is unimportant. It has importance to us. It has relevance to us. They may just be different, but it has relevance to it. Okay, how about a short introduction? I hope any thoughts, comments as we start. That didn't lend itself to comments, I know, or instructions, and I appreciate that. Okay. First things, customer command that I think we can all agree on. As you look at this passage, and as he starts out here in verse 2 and 3, having put verse 1 with the prior chapter as we did earlier, he talks about a woman's subjection to man, man's subjection to Christ, and this has been from the beginning. I don't think there's any question about that. I think everybody understands that God has set that standard for us from the start. Also, as you look at Genesis, the first chapter, verses 1 and verse 27, men and women, man and woman, are created in the likeness of God. And I think this lends, again, this concept that it's not a degrading position to be in subjection anymore for the woman to the man than it is for man to Christ. And he's going to make the point a little later in the verses here as we read it, that men and women are mutually dependent upon each other. It's not that there is a air of superiority, but that both provide things to the relationships that God has designed and are necessary. And the other final thing I'd point out in this passage doesn't give approval to women teaching in the assembly with men present. It's not designed to do that. That's not as far, and Paul is going to deal with that a little later in the book. So I think those are things that we can all agree on and find in common and lessons that we can receive from that. I'd pause for just a second. Anything? Okay, the position which I've entitled the command position, teaching basically that, let me get my notes caught up here. Teaching basically that these are commands, a new command that God has given to His children and are commands that need to be observed. Again, most of you know, if you're not visiting, that this is not the position that I would take, or I do take, and so it's more difficult for me, honestly, to present this position. So if I fall short of making a point that needs to be made on this as we go through, please don't hesitate to raise your hand and let me know that. This position takes, as you go through, let's just stop and read the passage really quick. Who's got a good strong voice for me? Dave, you got that passage. Would you read, start in verse 2 and read through verse 16 for us? Okay, thank you, Dave. So as he begins in verse 2, and I think the version that Dave used, reads from, as mine does, New King James, uses the word traditions. Some other versions uses the term ordinances. So you could, on the screen, substitute those two words, interchange those two words. And they are, this position would normally take this verse and say that they are, again, commands of God that have been delivered to them. And verse 3, as Dave read for us, talks about this principle of headship. It's from the beginning of time, and the discussion is, or the thoughts are, since God created this order, this status of man's relationship to Christ or to God, woman's relationship to man, since that has been from all time, that therefore it follows that Paul's instructions for this command is from, fits in with that and is from this time forward. And as we go later on, we'll talk about the relationship of the Old Testament of that. But the basic argument or the basic thought is that this has been God's position from all time, and therefore the instruction that Paul gives here is a command that ties in with that principle that crosses the borders of all the covenants that have been given. I'm going to try to stop between each one, so if somebody has something to add, to give you time to do that. Okay, then verse 4. Verse 4 says, "For every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonors his head." And you'll excuse my shortening of the phrase praying and prophesies with the abbreviation of the P and P there, but I've tried to do that all the way through, so please be aware of that. But since man is not to be covered during that time, it's clearly, the argument would be, it's clearly an artificial covering, because it's something that can be taken on, put off, or taken off and put on, and therefore it is an artificial covering. Also in verse 4 and verse 5, the point is made that every man, as you see underlined, every woman is required to cover or uncover respectively as Apostle Paul is given instructions. Kevin? I think so. Anybody disagree with that? I will tell you, on that first slide, I had things on and then things off. I'm not sure I had that one, but that I think is a good point. Thank you, Kevin. Yeah, and that goes back to where I think, David, and if you disagree with it, tell me. As I started, I tried to say, we can know God's truth. God's not going to give us something. He's not going to give us instruction that we can't understand. And so the truth is there. It's, as you said, we have to study, we have to dig it out, we have to understand it correctly, and then we'll be pleasing to God. Is that in harmony with what you're saying? Well, and the second part of that, who's responsible for the end result of that? We each one will be, won't we? Okay, down through verse 4 and 5, again, the emphasis here is usually made that this requirement is for all men, and especially all women in our culture, because Paul says every man and every woman. Verse 6. In verse 6, Paul urges some things here as you reread that verse. "For if a woman is not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it is shameful for a woman to be shorn or shaved, let her be covered." He urges women to use the covering by comparing this analogy that it would be like being shaven, which the passage says is what? Being shameful, answer the question, then answer before I get it out. Would be shameful, right? He says right in the passage that if it is shameful, now he asks it, he almost makes it as a rhetorical statement here, but he says, but if it is shameful for a woman to be shorn or shaved, then the purpose or the analogy is, let her be covered on that. And I think the point is, which is by instinct shameful. And that'll probably come out as we go a little farther along. And as you look at verse 6, I think there's something to point out here that I'd throw out to your attention, whether it's this position or the next, that there's three possibilities in this verse regarding this. For you to think about. Number one is that the woman is what? She's covered. What is the second one? She's uncovered. And what is the third one? What's it say? That she is shaven or that she is shorn. So, and in fact, both words are used here, shorn or shaved. And so there's three possibilities for this woman, in this, and I will say that while I think there's some many things in the position of the hair being the covering that makes some sense, I think this is an obstacle in that position that needs to be considered along that line, because the hair does not fit well into that possibility. Verse 7. Man should pray or prophesy uncovered, because he is the image and the glory of God, and it is not due to a custom. As the proponents of this would say, that man indeed ought to cover, since why? He is the image and glory of God. That's a statement that should be clear, not due to custom. Verses 8 through 10, however, as he points to this, he goes on and talks a little bit more. Catch up in my notes here. And I guess I would add to that last thing that we'll leave that for later. As you look at these verses, and as you look at verses 8 through 10, excuse my pause here. I want to make sure I'm saying thing right. Well, let's go on. As you look at this, he uses creation to show the woman should have covered, should have a covering to symbolize her submission to man. These passages, as you look through 8 through 10 here, clearly again go back to where Paul started out in verse 3, as he began at the beginning of time, and the relationship that men have to women, women have to men, and why they were created. In fact, as you look at verse 10, Paul tells us that after he says woman was created for man, and verse 10, he says, for this reason. Well, what reason? The reasons that he's just talked about in verses 7, 8, 9, that man is not for the woman, but the woman for the man. Neither was man created for the woman, but the woman for man. For this reason, the woman ought to have a symbol of authority. For the reasons he just stated, he says she should have a symbol of authority. And then he states another reason. And what's that reason? He says, because of the angels. So the symbolizing is because woman was created for man, or because of the angels. Now, typically, as you look at because of the angels, often the response is, I'm not sure what this means, but whatever it does mean, it was what? It was an inducement for the woman to have her head covered. It was an inducement for her to follow the instructions that would be viewed as law rather than custom. There are, however, though, go back here, as you look at this, there are a couple of possibilities that I think worth, and I think we'll save those for a little later here, as we may be running out of time from where I wanted to be. Then verses 11 through 12, Paul talks about neither man or woman should boast, because why? They are dependent upon each other. That they rely upon each other for many things. So why should I be arrogant? Man comes from woman, doesn't he? Woman was created for man, but man comes from woman. There should be no arrogance in those relationships that are there. Anything to add? Okay, verse 13, Paul says, judge in yourselves, and the position here of command says this is typically, is what I've seen, is this is an action of judging based on Paul's instructions in this passage to them. Somehow this judging has to be related to law, because the position is that this is a command of God's law. So therefore, when he says judge in yourselves, it's got to be an action based from the instructions of Paul's commands. Other thoughts on that? Rick? Yeah, let's just go to that. Verse 14 and 15, there's a couple of points there, as Rick enumerated. As you look at verse 14, does not even nature itself teach you that if a man has long hair, it is a dishonor to him? verse 15. But if a woman has long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given to her for a covering. The question here becomes, what does nature mean? One of the possibilities, one of the points is that nature is an instinct that's built into us from the moment we're born, from the moment God created man, that we know these things. Somehow we know these things. Another possibility, or tied with that, I guess I should say, is that what I think, Rick, what you were saying, is that nature teaches us it's a confirmation of what God has set forth as a law. So it's a supporting argument for that. Is that along the lines of what you're thinking, Rick? God what? So meaning that it was something that they instinctively knew, or that they learned over time? Instinctively, okay. Kevin? Say that again one more time. Okay. And I appreciate that. I'll give that some thought. Man, and as everybody else should. Where? Great. Could everybody hear over there? Nobody's saying no, so I guess we got you. Good point. Thank you. And that would fit with this. I think, does that not, Greg, fit with the statement that it's an action to be based on the instructions from Paul's commands? Okay. And what I think probably to me is one of the stronger maybe points in this position is verse 16, which if we could... If of the probably two, three, maybe even four different ways you can paraphrase this statement, if we could know exactly, without any shadow of a doubt, which paraphrase, as you might use, is what God intended through His inspiration, I think we could solve, we'd have no trouble making sure that we were all exactly on the same page on this. As you look at the two possibilities, put forth that would bring forth both requiring the covering, and we'll just get them, I just go ahead and get them both up here, that as you look at the verse 16, but if anyone seems to be contentious, we have no such custom, nor do the churches of God. The first one is that the custom is describing those who Paul says are seeming to be contentious, and therefore he's basically saying the same thing, that therefore there is no such custom, which means what? If it's not a custom, it's a command, it's law. And so the position would state that he is describing that as in that way, and therefore neither him nor the other churches have a custom, therefore they have a law, and that's what Paul would be saying on that. I'll pause right there on that one. Any other, as I use the term paraphrase, or any other ways that you would restate that to help it be understood to be consistent with this position of God's instructions here through Paul being a command. Rashad, and then Brother Pope. Real loud, Rashad. You know how my ears are. Okay, I think well said in explaining that. Brother Pope. Greg, what was... Acts 4. All questions need to be that easy when you can refer to somebody on it and say, give us the verse. Okay. Okay, we have 5 minutes to cover the other position. obviously, we're going to be carrying over to Wednesday night. I really appreciate everyone's attitudes, and in some ways I want to apologize for setting a stage where you can't interchange in this debate. In a sense, it's just not a good setting for that. And I will tell you, if I look at the number of hours and just to me to get a handle on it and to be fair in studying the positions, all of the positions, and trying to keep it straight in my fuzzy head from time to time, I'm not sure it would be effective. But there may be a reason as we finish this all up for not only some individual studies, but some other group studies along that way. Kevin? Yeah, without question. I'm chuckling a little bit because what Kevin told me in the parking lot before we came up, and he hasn't stuck to that very well, so I'm thankful for that, Kevin. So, okay, I'll just put forth in a couple minutes here something for you to think about as we prepare for Wednesday night. And you know, I may go to the CEI lectures, Brother Pope, and hand out flyers and say, whatever you do this week, all you preachers, stay away from Pepper Road. So it dawned on me a couple weeks ago when Trevor has been my substitute so often. I told him, I said, well, this is great. You know, not only do I get to teach what I consider one of the hardest subjects, and I'm pretty nervous about that, but then I get Wednesday night, we'll have a house full probably, if it's anything like the last year or so, of preachers from all over the place. So I may be handing those flyers out. You might do that for me, okay? Just kidding, obviously. Well, sort of. Okay, here's my problem, or here's probably why I hold the position of custom. I believe it fits the overall context of 1 Corinthians better than the command position. And as I look at what has taken place, if I ask what is the central theme been of Paul's correction over this time to the Corinthians, and you all, we've studied, we've talked about this a lot, but it basically says that love supersedes all of their problems of self-interest, of being divisive, of following men, of puffed up in knowledge, going to law, self-sacrifice in marriage, self-sacrifice in liberties that would cause a brother to stumble. And as I look at that, as I look at what is taking place in Corinth and in this passage, I can see that fitting in as he's talking about their liberties among each other. Has the bell rung? Oh, okay. Well, we'll hold that. I told Rashad my ears were a problem. But I would put these two questions to you, and then what is the theme looking forward to the rest of 1 Corinthians in chapters 11 through 14?